Well, it really is a privilege and a pleasure to be able to have Mrs. Sloan with us tonight. And as she said in the video, our First Baptist Church has been supporting the Sloan since 1971. So for 53 years, First Baptist Church has been able to have a part in the ministry there in Mexico. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mrs. Sloan, or the Sloans, are the missionaries that First Baptist Church has supported the longest currently. And so we're excited about that. And 53 years, I believe Pastor Hill became the pastor in 1970, and not long after that, took on the Sloans, and the church has been supporting them for so many years, and we're just thankful for what God has done. And I'm going to ask Debbie, if you want to help Mrs. Sloan come up here, and I'm going to let Mrs. Sloan kind of share her testimony and really just kind of share anything that that is on her heart that she'd like to share tonight. And just I hope that you'll listen, be attentive. The Lord is really blessed in their ministry. I don't remember where I picked this up. I don't know if you sent me this book that you wrote about you and your husband, or but somehow I picked this up a few years back, and it's a book that Mrs. Sloan wrote called Tom and Me, and it's about their ministry in Mexico and about their life, and just a really neat book. And if you can find it online, I know it'd be a blessing to you to be able to read it. But it's just, it's a blessing, and we're just so glad to have you here with us, Ms. Sloan. So you just take whatever time you would like.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And yes,
Thank
ma'am.
Thank you. Well, good evening. Ladies, it's scary up here. I know God doesn't call women to preach. It's scary. Oh, but thank you, Pastor. This is such a blessing. Last year, Pastor Stinson emailed me, and he said, when you are on furlough, we would like for you to come and meet our people. And so I wrote him back, and I said, I really don't do furlough anymore. And he said yes, that he understood. But there's a conference, a large Spanish conference over close to Chicago. And about, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, I thought, I'm just going to check and see how close Eaton, Ohio would be from Chicago. And I found out it was about 350 miles. So I emailed Pastor and I said, I'll try to be with you on that week. So here I am. And so we came in here, I don't know, Friday night. And I have had just such a wonderful time. The conference in that we were just in is it starts on Monday and it doesn't stop till Thursday night about midnight. So I've been staying with Brother and Mrs. Stinsis, and we have just had the best time. Just such a relaxing, just a slow pace. And I even got to participate in my favorite sport yesterday, eating out. That's fun. And we stayed up till almost 10 o'clock last night talking, you know, and so it's been a joy to be here. Well, Pastor asked me to share my testimony and tell something about the work. So I was saved when I was 8 years old, and my dad had taken a church that he actually helped to start in a place called Waxahachie, Texas. And I was saved, and then 8 years later, the Lord called my parents to be missionaries to Mexico. So I was a 16-year-old teenager, you know, in the middle of my teen years, and, you know, you just uproot your family, and it was hard for me. It was really hard for me. I had my friends, you know, I had my church, and, the first time I went to Mexico, it was just as an obedient child. And so I learned, we moved there, and you know, just little by little, I learned the language, and I finished high school, and I went to teacher's college, and I finished my teaching degree. And right after I finished and got my degree, my dad and I, Daddy had to make a trip to, he was going to be in a mission conference in New Mexico. So he said, why don't you go with me? You've been studying and everything. Let's just take a road trip. It was just him and me. And we had such a good time. Well, on the trip, God had already spoken to me about surrendering my life to be a missionary. But I had not talked to anybody. I was just praying about it all the way there. It took us a couple of days to get there. I didn't say anything to Daddy. And so in the mission conference, my thought was the first invitation in the mission conference, I'm going to go forward and surrender to be a missionary. Well, guess what? There was no invitation given in that mission conference. Can you believe that? So the last day, well, Daddy and I traveled to Texas. We were in a church there that night. My daddy preached and he did give the invitation. And so I went forward and knelt down and surrendered my heart. Daddy came down and prayed with me. And my life really didn't change because I already lived on the mission field. I knew the language. And I began to work with Daddy. I taught in the Bible Institute. I was my daddy's secretary. I had a Sunday school class. But, I was by then, I think I was maybe 22, 23. And, I wanted to have a husband. I wanted to get married, have a husband and a family. And we would come to the States to churches. And the pastor's wife, we have a wonderful youth pastor. He's not married and he's so dedicated. And they would invite us all out to eat, and he was just as miserable as I was because he didn't want to be stuck with a missionary to Mexico, and I didn't want to marry anybody that was not a missionary. And one day I told my mother, I said, you know what, I'm just so tired. Every time I'd go somewhere, I'd think, maybe he's here, maybe this is a church while I meet him. And one day I just told Mother, I said, you know what, I'm tired of looking for a husband. If God wants me to serve him as a single missionary, then I'm willing to do it. He knows where I am. And if he wants me to have a husband, then he'll send me. And guess what? He did. He did. There was a church. There was a doctor that who was supporting. And, I was Daddy's secretary. So I saw that name. I would send out his prayers, Tom Sloan, MD, and I knew that he supported the work, $58 a month. And so one time my mother came in with a letter from the post office. She said, that doctor, we have met this doctor. He's a very nice doctor, and guess what? He's coming to visit the work. And I said, okay. I thought that doesn't impress me. But the first time I saw him, oh my goodness, it was just love at first sight. He was the most beautiful man I had ever seen. He was just everything. He was just so polite. And I think what really impressed me most about him, he was just so godly. And you could tell he was a very serious Christian. He was serious about his Christianity, even though he was a doctor. He was doing his residency in New Orleans, pediatric residency. And then he was going to go on to be a pediatric surgeon, and I thought ever since I was about 12 years old, I just dreamed of marrying a doctor. I don't know why there were no doctors in our families, and I don't like doctors, and so we spent a few days together, and when he went back to the States, the first service that he was in, he went forward and surrendered to be a missionary in Mexico. So that's how it started. And we married. The Lord gave us 8 precious children, 4 boys and 4 girls. And I have 41 grandchildren, and they are just wonderful. I have one with me, and she's a blessing. And my husband and I lived in Monterrey. When I met my husband, that was my Mexico, when I surrendered to be a missionary in Mexico. But my husband had a desire to work with the Indians. And Chiapas has a high population of Indians, and so we went to Chiapas. Now, ladies, I'll tell you, that was hard for me. If you read my book, that was just, I was not a happy camper. He drugged me down there. I didn't, no, this is Mexico, you know, it's Mexico. But the people there were so different. I could not buy milk for my baby. It was just a different culture. The Indians, some of them spoke Spanish, but they used words that I didn't understand. The culture was just really, really hard for me. And as time went on, you know, my husband learned this Spanish language, and he had a passion for young Indian boys to bring them in. We would bring these young men in, like 14, 15 years old, and we would give them a place to stay and feed them, and they would get saved. Now, what we would do, we would send them to school, and back then, some women would have houseboys. They would work in the house. Well, these boys would come, and my husband would see them, and they would help me with my housework, and they would just do, you know, yard work and things like that, and we gave them a place to stay, and the idea was they get saved, and hopefully God would call some of them to preach. And we had several young men that went on to serve the Lord as pastors and missionaries. We have several Indian works back in the villages. My son-in-law came out of that ministry. He came to us when he was 16 years old, and now he's my son-in-law. And you know, as time went on, I couldn't get a vision and a love that my husband had for the people. And you know, when I counsel with ladies, I sometimes talk to pastors' wives, and they're not into their husband's ministry. And I just encourage them, you know what, you just stay by your husband. You just stay with your husband. And ladies, I will not tell you that it was easy. I will not tell you it was easy. It was very hard for me. But, you know, my husband had Parkinson's disease for 24 years. He struggled with that. And finally he couldn't stand and preach, and he couldn't drive. He couldn't do all those things. So, our children married, left home, and so basically my ministry was taking care of my husband. He was my full-time ministry, and when the Lord took him to heaven one Sunday afternoon, you know what? He just laid down on the bed and went to heaven. Just laid down on the bed. He didn't struggle. He didn't suffer. And when my husband passed away, I could have gone to Monterey to work with my brother. I had another brother in Chihuahua. I could have gone and worked with him and never had to see another Indian. But you know what? By then, God had given me the vision that my husband had, the same love that my husband had. I don't know when it happened. I think it was just a gradual thing, but when my husband passed away, I stayed, and I'm still there. I'm still there. And when my husband passed away, it was sort of sudden. You know, he'd been sick for years. You know, you get used to someone. When someone is sick, it's just, you know, he's just going to always be here. He's always going to be sick, but he's always here. Six of our children and their families, he passed away in December. It'll be 20 years in December. And six of our children were there for Christmas. And so they were there. And I remember the afternoon he died, my granddaughter's father, dad, he's a male nurse. And then two of my sons came, and they worked with him, but he was already gone. And I tell people, I was not ready for that. I didn't tell him goodbye. I didn't know he was leaving. But you know what? He was ready to go. He was ready to go. And that's such a consolation to me. So, you know, that's just like a fog, you know, when something like that happens, suddenly you just move the body, you just, where were people, you know, I'd never been through this before, and people would just tell me, okay, now you do this, and you do this, we went to the States for his funeral. His funeral was on a Friday. And the day after his funeral, I'm a morning person. I'm a morning person. I wake up and I'm ready to go. But that morning, the day after his funeral, I just sat on the side of the bed. We were staying in, I was staying in some friend's home, and I just sat on the bed just kind of, what do I do now? Because he was the center of my life. But I had made an appointment with my pastor, Dr. Jim Vineyard, and I went in that Saturday morning with two of my sons, and I just told him, I said, I need you to tell me what to do. I'm going back to Mexico, but I'm a single missionary now. Now you tell me what to do. So he gave me some advice. I was 60 years old when my husband passed away, and he was talking to me. He said, Billy, I think you're going to live to be 90 years old. And then he gave me 30 years worth of work to do. But one of the things he said, he said, I think you ought to write a book about Tom. And he said, I think you should be at the disposition of pastors' wives, to go speak and speak to their ladies and the young ladies. So that's what I've been doing for 20 years. It's been a very exciting life. Oh my goodness, I have stayed in the lobby of a hotel in the middle of New York City when my flight was delayed until the next day, and I've stayed in the former Soviet Union in the army barracks. I could tell you story after story. I've been to Puerto Rico, I've been to El Salvador, I've been to Israel, I've been to Ukraine, I've been to, can't name them all. But the Lord has given me a good life. And I thank the Lord. I'm in good health, as far as I know. I feel good, and the Lord has blessed me. And all of these years, I thank the Lord. Now I still live in the same place, same house. You know, I work in our church. Just to let you know about my church, when my husband became so weak that he couldn't preach and everything, our son had just graduated from Bible college. He had not married. He was engaged to marry a young lady, but he came down. Philip came down and took over the work there and just did a wonderful job. And then he married, and he and my daughter-in-law Liz came, and he was the pastor of the church. And while he was there, he won man to the Lord. This man was, his wife was saved, and she was a member of our church, but he had a funeral home business, and he didn't need the Lord. And my husband, my son Philip, would go over, and he would talk to him, invite him to church. Now, he didn't want to have anything to do, but every time Philip would leave, and Brother Albino gives this testimony, he said every time he would leave, he would turn around, and he'd say, Albino, I'm praying for you. And he would say, I don't need your prayers. Pray for someone else. And when he gives his testimony, he says, can you believe I said that to my pastor? But he did get saved. He got saved. And I have another son, Tommy, and he and his family moved down. He started a radio station there. And his ministry was to work with Philip and get prospects out in these little villages by means of radio, and then Philip would do the follow-up work. Well, a couple of years after Tommy and Mona moved there, the Lord laid on Philip's heart to go to another state of Veracruz and start a work there. Well, so Tommy took over the work. He took over the work as pastor. But Tommy's heart was in radio ministry. He didn't want to pastor. So he left, and guess who took over the church? This man that Philip won to the Lord that said he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He is a go-getter. He is a wonderful pastor. He has a pastor's heart. He has a vision. He's kind of like your pastor, always got something going, new activities and new ideas. We support missionaries, and it's a wonderful church. And I play the piano. I teach the ladies Sunday school class. I have ministries with ladies there. And I just want to thank this church. It has a special place in my heart. 53 years this church has been supporting us. 53 years. So that has a special place in my heart. And I was telling Pastor, like he was saying, y'all, I get your newsletter, so I feel like I know some of you. Some of you by name, and the young people, thank you for praying for us. And I would just like to say this. First, I would like to talk to the moms and the dads. Sometimes a mother will come up to me and she'll say, oh, you know, my kids are moving to the mission field. They're going to go to Mexico as missionaries, and they're really, and I'm like, I think, get over it. Mexico's the most wonderful place in the world. And I love it there. And I try to, you know, encourage them. If God calls your children to full-time service, or if he, you know, calls them to be missionaries, to thank the Lord. Just let them do what God calls them to do. But then God called my children, one of my daughters and her husband, to be missionaries to Israel. And so now I know how those ladies, I know how those moms feel now. I know how those moms feel. But you know what? I had rather my children work in a war zone. They have a bomb shelter right outside their door where they have to run and get in when the sirens go off. But you know what? I had rather my children be in a place like that and in the center of God's will than out of God's living next door to me. So I would like to encourage your parents, comfort you. If your children surrender to the missionary, you know, you're gonna go hungry. Oh, you're not gonna, you know, your kids will never have a good education. That is not true. That is not true. My children have had opportunities that they would not otherwise have had. One of my sons lived in Israel for a while, and he knows the vice prime minister of Israel, and God has blessed him. And God will bless your children. Just turn them loose and let them go. Let God use them for what they want to be. And then I want to talk to the precious young people. They're just the sweetest young people. Some of them came to me a while ago, and they actually have sent me emails, and they pray for me. And I want to talk to the young people. First of all, I want, and my granddaughter has heard me say this many times. Sometimes we as parents, we live our dreams through our children. You know, you wanted to be a doctor, and you didn't, so you want your children to be doctors. Or sometimes even, you know, people in ministry, they expect their children to be in the ministry also. And I think that's wonderful. I think that is ideal. But you know what? Sometimes God needs doctors, or he needs mechanics. And I tell young people, you do what God wants you to. I have told my grandchildren, just because your great-grandfather and your grandfather and your parents are in the ministry, that doesn't mean that God wants you in the ministry. But I will tell you this. Being missionary, now, you young people look at me. I'm 80 years old. I can still walk with a little bit of help. And I have beautiful clothes. I don't buy them. given to me. I have a car that my son-in-law gave to me. I own my house. I travel all over the world. And I meet wonderful people. I love being a missionary. Now, God does not call everybody to be missionaries, right? But this is what I tell young people. I fly a lot. In 20 years, I have flown a lot. The other day, my son-in-law asked me, do you know how many planes you've been on? I said, no, there's no way I could count it. But you know what? When a pastor invites me, I like to reserve my own tickets because I know how much I need for layovers and everything. And so I always get the cheapest tickets that I can find. I'm leaving on Tuesday because instead of Monday because I can get our tickets $100 cheaper each. And so I get on the plane and I pass by those people in first class. You know, they're sitting there with their orange juice or their coffee, and they've got their pillows and their blankets and everything. And, you know, I just go back and sit in the coach. And, we've got the same pilot. We take off at the same time. We're all going to the same place. And I compare that, if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. But when you serve the Lord full time, it's like going to heaven first class. Now, I live by faith. I have to trust the Lord for all I have. Sometimes my bank account gets really, really low, and then God just drops a blessing on me. He has never forsaken me in all these 20 years that I have been a missionary. And I want to encourage you young people. And like I said, God does not call everybody to be missionaries, right? But if God calls you, speaks to you someday and lays on your heart to be a missionary or a pastor's wife or a pastor, you know what? That is an honor. That is an honor. I feel like in the ministry, I'm way up here. It is an honor and a blessing to be a missionary. God has never forsaken me. I feel like I'm going first class because I have to depend on the Lord for everything, for my health, for God to give me strength, for God to help me to be a blessing, to provide my needs, and He does. And I want to encourage you tonight, parents, if God calls your children to serve Him, you are honored. You should be honored. And young people, if you serve the Lord full time, if God calls you, you're going to go to heaven first class. And the Lord bless. Thank you so much for everything. And the Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Ms. Sloan, I have a couple questions if I could ask, if that's all right.
Sure.
I'll have you come back over here so folks can hear you. And I know it might be hard to answer some of these with specifics, but do you have any idea of how many churches have been started in Mexico through your husband's ministry and now through your children and things like that? Do you have any idea of how many churches?
The Indian, my husband won a young man to the Lord many years ago. I'm going to guess 45 years ago, and he was an Indian. And he was able to win other Indian men to the, some of them were his brothers, and then some of them were just men that he knew. And one of the men that he won to the Lord was, his name is Sebastian, and he has several sons, four sons that have also surrendered. And so they have churches back there. I think there are about seven. There are seven churches that have been started back in the tribes, and then the one in San Cristobal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then your sons, some of your sons have started churches as well?
I have one son in Veracruz, and he started a church there. And then I have another daughter. She and her husband started another work in Veracruz. And then I have a daughter She and her husband started to work in Querétaro. And then I have a son that is in New Mexico, and one in California, and one in Arkansas. So,
Amen. And so just think about how being faithful, God has blessed the family, and now through not only her husband and their ministry, but now through their children and now grandchildren, 41 grandchildren that God is blessing. And so what a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Amen. And you might say, well, I just may not see it in my lifetime, but you have no idea what God could do through your children by your faithfulness to God. And so what a testimony that is. Do you have a favorite verse or a life verse or anything?
Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him.
Amen. Amen. That's a great verse. Praise the Lord for that. Somebody should write that down, Nahum 1:7. So I don't know what a good verse is that I could have. That's a good verse right there. Amen. Let me see here. Maybe somebody else. I've got a couple questions, but maybe is there somebody else that would like to ask Mrs. Sloan a question? Anybody like to ask Mrs. Sloan a question? No, the young people always have questions. Maybe a couple adults. Any adults have some questions before we go to the kids? Any adults? Not, yes, ma'am? In Chiapas, do you have any other family members living in the town where you're at?
Not in my town. An hour from where I live is where my daughter and her family that are missionaries to Israel. Now, what they do, because they cannot stay a long time on the mission field like I do, I'm a permanent resident in Mexico. I never have to leave Mexico. But they go over there for 3 months, and then there is actually a Christian embassy in Israel, and this lady is able to get them an extension on their visa so they're able to stay there for 6 months. Well, after their 6 months, they go back to Chiapas where they live. He has three national pastors that he left in charge of work. So he goes back and works there. That's an hour from my house. My son, Philip, is 7 hours from where I work, and then my daughter and her family are 4 hours away, and then I have a daughter in central Mexico that they have a work, but the closest is, and then Debbie and her family live 2 hours, so nobody lives in my town, except Debbie stays with me.
And you're still in the same house?
Yes.
That you and your husband, when you went to Chiapas?
No, but we have lived there for 42 years.
Okay. Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. What advice would you give? I know you encourage the young people about missions and things, but obviously we have some that are feeling like God wants them to be a missionary. Some young ladies, some young men. What advice would you give them as young people? What is something you could encourage them in?
Well, all I can tell you is just do what I did. In the first place, number one, of course I got saved, but I moved to the mission field with my parents. I did not want to go. It was very hard for me, just as hard as it was when my husband drug me down to Chiapas. But I would say, number one, you're still at home, be obedient to your parents. Even if your parents are not saved, you honor your parents, and God will bless you. And then I would just say the basics, just stay in church. Mm-hmm. When, you know, you have a mission conference, the missionaries come. When you go to church, just say, God, speak to my heart. That's what I do. When I get ready to go to church, I say, speak to my heart, God, through the preaching of your word. And then, like I think you're fixing to take a trip, a mission trip, mm-hmm. I would say take mission trips, and just leave your heart open to the Lord.
Amen.
And just let the Lord guide you, and he will. God will never just say, I want her to do this, but I'm not going to let him know. That God will let you know. And right now, you're all very, very young, and I would just say right now, study hard, you know, be good students, be faithful. pray, read your Bible every day, stay faithful to church, and God will show you Amen. His will. Then once you are called to maybe you know your field, then if you're young, pray for God to give you the husband or wife that He would have you to have, and just do like I do. So if you want it to be a single missionary, well, that's what I want to do. And God will, whenever you give your will to the Lord, He's not going to keep it a secret. He'll let you know what to do. And just step by step. One of these days you'll be up here giving your testimony. And
Amen. What does a typical Sunday look like for you?
Okay. Well, Sunday morning, I go to church. I pick up a couple of ladies on the way. So I get to church, and I play the piano for our services. And then I teach a Sunday school class. And then we have, they call them rondallas. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a group of young men that sing. They usually do the special music. And then we have a team choir. And in our church, we have children's church, much like a Sunday here. It's a lot like, except we have bus routes. We have several bus routes. And what we do, they bring the children in early, like at 9 o'clock. And different families in the church prepare breakfast for these children when they get to church. These children are poor children. And so they have breakfast, and then they have children's church. They have their Sunday school classes. In the evening, then we have preaching, and almost every service there's someone saved in our church. Mm. This pastor that my son Philip won to the Lord, he was just a layman when the people voted him to take the church. And he is just amazing. I learned things from him. He knows his Bible, and God has given him a vision. What we do in 2020, when the schools closed down, was the kids had to study at home. But our bus kids, they don't have internet at home. So the pastor came up with the idea of Saturday morning having classes to tutor these children from 9 to like 12:30. And so what they do, the bus routes run, they bring these children to church, they have a little devotional and songs, and then they give them breakfast, and then they divide them into groups. And we have several school teachers in our church, and they tutor them so that when the schools open, he just kept up this ministry because we were seeing parents of these children saved. Mm-hmm. They actually have a graduation service, and a lot of those children their parents have been reached with this gospel. And then we have the preaching service on Sunday mornings, and then invitation, and usually we have baptisms. And then Sunday afternoon, just like here, we come to church and have the service just like you do. Yeah, pretty much the same.
Amen. Amen. Any word of encouragement? There are some folks that feel like, maybe they're getting a little bit older in years and they can't do as much as they can. As before. Any word of encouragement you can give to them?
You are never too old to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Never. You are never too old to serve the Lord. Now, I can't do some of the things that I could do 20 years ago. I was telling the ladies in a session the other day, when I first started doing it 20 years ago, I would wear high heels, and I would just go up and down those stairs, and I go through airports just flying through airports. I can't do that now. And we have to realize our limitations. Don't ever try to be, 20, 30-year-old. That's ridiculous. But there are things that we can still do to serve the Lord. I think a sweetest ministry for an older person is for the children. I can remember when I must have been just a little girl, 7 or 8 years old. There was an elderly lady in our church, and I loved her because she would give you candy. If you would go sit by her, she would give you candy. Oh, we just loved her. She was the sweetest lady. And so there was another old lady sitting by her. She said, the only reason those kids come sit by you is because you give them candy. She said, buy you a bag of candy and they'll come with you. So I think, and then you know, just the Bible teaches the older ladies to be a blessing to the younger ladies. I know we for a while, we had a minute, I taught in the institute, and I had a class of young ladies. And I taught them, you know, to be a blessing. There was, at one time, I had the ladies' Sunday school class, and we had a little thing that we started. The ladies in our church, I would tell them, you know, the Bible says that we older ladies should be a blessing, teach the younger ladies. And we actually started a little thing, project, where these ladies would choose a young lady in the church, and they would go to her house, and she'd teach them how to make mole, or how to make tortillas, or how to sew, just different things. And that can be a blessing. And I think also, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can always pray. Amen. I think a ministry, now that I don't have children, I don't have a husband, I don't do very much housework like I used to do. I have more time for prayer. I have more time to study my Bible than I did when I was raising my family. There are so many advantages when you get to be my age. People just, I don't know, people treat me different than they used to. They're so kind to me. When I have to travel alone, God just puts people in my path. They help me to go through security, and they'll help me on the plane. And the main thing is just don't get bitter. You know, don't get bitter. Just have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And I think a ministry that we can have is just praying for our pastor, just being a blessing. You know, don't be a grouchy old person. Just, you know, love the children and the Lord. You're never too old to serve the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I'm living proof of that.
Amen. Is there a personal need that you might have, that you might have that we could be praying for you about?
A personal need. Actually, materially, I'm not really a person that, I'm not high maintenance. I don't need a lot of stuff. We're staying in the most beautiful house. It's just, beautifully decorated. Debbie and I are just, we're just enjoying the beauty. And I do too. God has given me a beautiful home, 4-bedroom home, and the Lord has blessed me. But I think materially, honestly, I'm not a rich person by any means. But the Lord has taken care of me materially since my husband went to heaven. The Bible says, you know, that God will take care of the widow. Never seen the widow forsaken. And so the Lord has taken care of me. Now, what I do need prayers for is for my health, obviously. For my health, a couple of years ago, I was in the Chicago area in that same church. Debbie's mother and I came, and I spoke at a mother-daughter banquet. And when that was on the way back home, and after I got home, I just began to feel unusually tired. I just didn't have any strength. And I told one of the ladies in the church, I don't know, there's something wrong. I don't know if I'm anemic. I know there's something wrong in my heart. Anyway, I was scheduled to be in a church. And the day before, I was so weak. And so my daughter called me, the one that lives an hour away. And she said, Mom, would you just consider not going? And we had to cancel that. Anyway, so my daughter and son-in-law came and got me and took me to got me under a doctor's care, found out that I was extremely anemic. He said, you could have died as low as your blood count was. You were extremely sick. So anyway, they took care of me, gave me a transfusion, and then the doctor had us do an endoscope. They did a body scan, and the doctor told my son-in-law that said, your mother-in-law has cancer. And my son-in-law said, don't tell my wife, don't tell my mother, whatever you have to say, say it to me. I don't want them to know. Well, I didn't know that I had just had that transfusion. I felt wonderful. And but he, in his heart, he knew that I was not well. So he prayed for 2 weeks. He prayed and fasted that God would heal me. And we went for an endoscope where they put that camera, you know, down. And it was to see where the cancer was, to see what kind of cancer it was. And so I came out and I was in the waiting room and the doctor came out and she said, well, good news, you don't have cancer.
Amen.
And I thought, no, and I don't have tuberculosis or, it was no big deal for me. Well, every night, we were going to the doctor 2 or 3 times a week because I was under doctor's care. So every night when we would go for these appointments, my son-in-law would video call all 8 of my children and just tell them, you know, what happened. He never said anything about the cancer. He said he felt that burden was his. Mm. But the night that we found out that I did not have cancer, he said, I want to talk to you and Elizabeth before I make the video call. So we went in his office and he said, he told us exactly what had happened, that the doctor had said in that body scan that I had cancer. And he said he had prayed for 2 weeks and the test came back that I did not have cancer.
Amen.
Well, I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't happy. I wasn't sad. But my daughter, she came over and she put her head in my lap and was just crying and trying. And then she said to my son-in-law, why didn't you tell me? I could have shared that burden with you. And he said, no, I felt like God gave me that burden. And so God healed me.
Amen.
That is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So praise the Lord.
Amen.
But, you know, I still have some little health problems. I'm still able to do my ministry, and I'm still, but yeah, pray for my health, and just pray that I will, that our ministries will grow. You can also pray in November, and you will get a prayer list of things specifically to pray for, but pray for our ladies' banquet that we have every year, and we actually have a conference and banquet now at the church. So pray for that God will provide the money for that. We always have a special speaker come and preach, and so you can pray about that. And thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mrs. Sloan. It's been such a privilege to have you with us today.
Oh, it's
Amen.
An honor
God
to
bless
be,
you.
It's an
Amen.
Honor to be
here. Yes.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. 50 years faithfully serving the Lord, 53 years there in Mexico. God bless you. Amen.